Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Now here's Gino Camilleri.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. As always, it is Gino Camilleri, your co-host here on this Friday, November 20th edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. And we are just a few short days away from the last cross-conference matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. And so far, we have seen the toll that the AFC North has taken on our beloved Eagles. Had an outright poor showing against Cincinnati. They end up with a tie against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. They put on a pretty decent showing. Their offense came out and really put on a good performance, I would say, in those two games. And that's something that was reassuring in the back of my mind for a few weeks, that, hey, maybe those two performances were something that they could build off of. And clearly we've seen since then that it's been a roller coaster, and I think once again it is going to be one of those roller coaster type weeks going against Cleveland to see if you can at least steal one win away from a pretty good opponent in the AFC North, somebody that, hey, they play smash mouth AFC North football, something that you've seen multiple times this year and something that hopefully you should be more prepared for coming off arguably the worst defeat in probably since that Miami defeat last season. So the Eagles are in for, I would say, a pretty competitive matchup here against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday at 1 p.m. But before we get into the X's and O's, we will get into some news. And unfortunately, we know how crazy this year has been with the coronavirus. And first things first, we want everybody that we are going to talk about, anybody who's been affected by coronavirus, please be safe and just take care of your families, because it's getting bad again. Just make sure that you're being respectful of everybody. Just put on a mask and make sure that you're being kind to your fellow humans. But unfortunately, these few individuals did get suspect to the coronavirus and unfortunately had to go on the coronavirus. It's not an IR, but like a disabled list they made it, this little exemption that they have. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside for the Philadelphia Eagles. It would make sense as to why he was held out of the game last week if he did have that illness, and it makes sense that a few people around him, like John Hightower, for example, will probably be out of this game. Same thing with Vinnie Curry and Corey Clement for the Eagles. On the Cleveland side of the ball, they have been affected as much as the Eagles have. They also have four individuals who are on the COVID-19 reserve list. The biggest name of all being Myles Garrett, which is a huge thing. But I always want to see great football players out there, so it's unfortunate that Myles won't be out there. The other three individuals, Jack Conklin, the tackle, their long snapper, Charlie Hewlett, and kicker, Cody Parkey. So that will be something to keep an eye on, especially when it comes down to maybe a field goal to decide this game, and that they have to bring in a kicker and a long snapper on short notice to fill for the Cleveland Browns. But we hope the best for all those individuals. Get back healthy, and we hope everybody in the NFL stays healthy this time of year, and everybody out there that's listening to the show, any listeners of the Locked On Eagles podcast, we love you guys. Stay healthy out there, and we got a lot more Eagles games to keep our emotions on this roller coaster. So why not stay safe and stick around and see some more? So come back for the second segment as we get into the X's and O's of this Philadelphia Eagles versus Cleveland Browns matchup.
Hey guys, Louis DiBiase interrupting Gino Camilleri just for 1 second right here on Locked On Eagles to give a shout out to our sponsor today, and that's Pepsi. This football season has been really different with a COVID-19 world surrounding the season, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you have to watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's not made for Carson Wentz. It's not made for Miles Sanders. It's made for you. It's made for the viewer. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
All right, everybody, welcome on back to segment two of this cross-conference matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns, previewing it here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Gino Camilleri joining you from the very windy Buffalo, New York, and I would expect it to be very windy just a few hours away in Cleveland when the Eagles kick off on Sunday against the Browns. And you have seen that the past few weeks. Both games have gone under in their last two matchups in Cleveland because the wind has been such a crazy factor in the Midwestern part of the country. I mean, you saw the torrential downpours in a ton of the games last week. Weather is taking a toll in November and December, and we always say, how do you win football games this time of year? You're going to have to be a team that has a solid running game. And man, oh man, am I outright frightened of the Cleveland Browns running game with their two-headed monster of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. The Eagles have been getting run all over this entire season, and something that Jim Schwartz always has kind of been his go-to is that they have a good run defense. I wouldn't even say they have an average run defense this time around. They are just outright allowing teams to run all over them. They're allowing quarterbacks to run all over them, which Baker Mayfield is an athlete. I would say he's a better athlete than Daniel Jones. So if I'm Cleveland, I'm trying to get Baker outside the pocket. I'm trying to get Jarvis Landry involved in some end-arounds if I am them. But ultimately, I think it's going to lean on the two-headed monster of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And you've seen what Nick Chubb has been able to do being back. I mean, Kareem Hunt alone is a force, but now you have the two of them, and the Eagles made their money off of having multiple backs, especially last year when they had Miles Sanders, and now a, once again, Philadelphia Eagle, Jordan Howard, who is signed to the practice squad. They used to crush teams late in games and wear teams down, and I think particularly back to that Buffalo Bills game in when Lou and I were there in October, and that weather was, it was crazy. It was around 25, 30 mile an hour winds. The rain was coming down sideways, and they just leaned on those two guys, Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard, and ran just an ultimate 4-minute drill to kill time and won that game, and did that multiple times last season. And Cleveland has been able to do that to their opponents, and I'm strictly a little bit frightened because the Eagles, they're allowing 1,200 yards on the season for rushing opponents. The Browns have rushed for 1,690. Oh, nope, that's passing yards. I apologize. They've rushed for 1,431, so they're around 200 yards over the average for what the Eagles are allowing on the season. So this will be the biggest test in terms of stopping them. And the thing about Cleveland is the bulk of their run game goes through this very good middle in their second-ranked center in J.C. Tretter, their fifth-ranked guard in Joel Bitonio, and their first ranked right guard in Wyatt Teller. That just goes to show you what Andrew Berry and co have kind of done in the past couple months in his time building that team in Cleveland. They're building through this offensive line. They saw what happened when Baker Mayfield has to run for his daylights and when these running backs can't get into a rhythm. So they said, you know what, we're going to make that our strength because we know our division, and you always draft to beat your division. You always build to beat your division. We know what the weather is like, and frankly, you've seen that the last couple weeks in Cleveland, and we know what running can do in these crappy months. And frankly, running the football is something that is important in the NFL. I know many people, much like Lou and I, and myself, we overvalue passing, but man, I mean, when you can rely on Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, if they average 250 yards, which I wouldn't be shocked to see the Eagles allow on Sunday, I think they're going to run down the clock a ton. I mean, they're going to just make every Eagles possession matter that much more. And a team who hasn't been efficient, I don't know how efficient you're going to be in the elements. So this is going to be another adversity game. We talk about it, just going against a better team, coming off a bad loss. A lot of things are going on in your locker room, and it's time to play Philadelphia Eagles football because Cleveland knows who they are. They know their identity. They've known it for, I mean, probably 20 years. They know that they've had to build to beat Pittsburgh and built to beat Baltimore, and finally, I believe that they are built to beat those teams, and their defense is also an unbelievable unit that they have put together over there. And frankly, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think both teams are going to try to establish the run, especially Cleveland, and I especially think Doug is going to try to get Miles involved more. And I ultimately think that the wind will be a factor once again, and you'll probably see each quarterback throwing it under 25 times in this game, and it's whoever's big uglies on the inside can win. And Fletcher Cox, he has to come up big. Malik Jackson, Hargrave, they all have to come up big. TJ Edwards, another individual who's going to have to gap fill a lot on these guys, be sure in his tackling. You're going to have good outcomes from the defensive side of the ball, and make sure you're not missing in the open field, because it's going to be ugly if these guys get to the second level and you have to worry about maybe Nickel Robey Coleman or Jalen Mills, who isn't the most athletic player, having to defend one of these guys in the open field. And I'm not really looking forward to it. But I ultimately believe that this Eagles team, they're going to figure out on defense that we have to solve this run problem. And I think Jim Schwartz, who is so stubborn, is going to try to focus more on that and say, hey, I told you so, the run matters more, when we know it doesn't. But hey, that's Jim Schwartz. And I think they should know that Cleveland is going to try to jam it down their throats. So be ready for that. Be ready for that two-headed attack. Be ready for a lot of motions. Jarvis Landry is an unbelievable athlete. I would expect to see one or two wide receiver throws in this game, because we know the Eagles secondary and their linebackers love to eat up that eye candy in the backfield. So I think this is going to be a game where if the Eagles stay sound, they stay gap sound, they stay proficient in their technique, that you ultimately come out and win this game in terms of stopping Cleveland's offense with your defense. And when we come back, we're going to have to talk about the big elephant in the room, the Eagles offense going against Cleveland's defense, something that, man, as inefficient as it has been, I'm just waiting for that one spark just to come and to see a high output performance from this Philadelphia Eagles offense. So when we come back, we will be wrapping it up here, getting into the X's and O's, seeing the Eagles offense go against the Cleveland Browns defense. So come on back. All right, everybody, welcome on back to this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm your host, Gino Camilleri, joining you on this fine Friday, November 20th of the year 2020. Can't wait for this year to end. And frankly, I'm ready for this Eagles season to end. It has been quite a nightmare, but hey, that's why we keep coming on back every single week. That's why you guys keep listening to us every single day here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And hey, the good news about the Eagles, one thing that we haven't seen outside of the coronavirus little epidemic we have here is that they're getting healthy. They're very healthy at the moment, and it's frankly something that we have all been waiting to see. You can see in Doug Peterson's voice in his press conference the last couple days that getting his offensive line back healthy and just having that continuity is so huge for them, and we preach that. I mean, think about it. If you're going to have to go to battle every single time and you have a different offensive line unit and they have to get ready for their different quirks, and it's really that. It's almost like an unspoken language with the offensive line. You just have to know what your next man to your right and your next man to your left is going to be doing at all times. And frankly, for your quarterback too, that's got to be the most reassuring feeling. But when you're going out there each week and you've had a different combinations nearly every single game on your offensive line, it's tough. But hey, you're going to get Isaac Seumalo back. hopefully Lane Johnson finally can get over that injury. Jason Peters has been looking better as of late, and I think you're going to see a continuous unit outside of the right guard position, which frankly Matt Pryor definitely isn't the option. Maybe give Sua Opeta a little chance there until Nate Herbig is back. But when you have that unit of Peters, say Amalu, Kelsey, Herbig, and Lane Johnson, I think you'll have some more success, and that's got to bring a little bit of a glimmer of hope to Jeff Stoutland's group and that they are getting healthy. And hey, man, your big three in Peters, Kelsey, and Johnson, they're playing pretty good football when it matters, and you're going to hope that you can lean on them again, because the most efficient part of your offense, we were just talking about it, is your running game right now. And you have to get Miles Sanders in a rhythm. You have to get Carson Wentz into a rhythm. And when Carson is relaxed and he's not pressing the matter, and when he could just kind of play his game and go with the ebbs and flows of the game, that's when he plays his best football. And we know that. And you have to utilize Miles Sanders. You have to utilize the play action game more, I believe. I don't think you've got Carson Wentz outside the pocket enough. And it was nice to hear Doug Peterson echo that sentiment. And in a game like this, you're going to have to take any yard on the ground that you can. And I think they've kind of gotten away from using Carson's legs the last few weeks, and it's hurt him. It truly has. And those good games that you saw when he was able to bring in his legs as an attacking element and get outside the pocket and kind of just work with these young kids and be the guy who he was when he was a younger player in the league, that's what you want to see. And you don't want to see him get stuck in this bubble of just sitting in the pocket and forcing bad throws, because right now he's not playing great football technically. He's inefficient passing the ball. So you got to do what works best for your quarterback. So I say get him maybe 20 throws in this game. Get him some short throws in rhythm. Get guys like Jalen Reagor and Travis Fulham in space. Get a guy like Miles Sanders in space. Get Greg Ward one-on-one, because outside of Denzel Ward, I think you win a lot of these matchups going against Terrence Mitchell on the outside, and also Kevin Johnson, who they saw against Buffalo last year, somebody that you were able to have success against. So I firmly believe that you're going to see a lot of 12 personnel in this game, running out of 12 personnel. Passing out of 12 personnel has been successful. Richard Rodgers, want to hear one of the craziest things you'll ever hear? Is the third-ranked tight end according to Pro Football Focus right now. Just an unbelievable statistic. He's just been playing some good rebirth football right now. Hopefully Dallas Goedert can come back and have one of those games, but I ultimately think who can cash in on more of these long drives, these 10, 11, 12-play drives, is going to be the winner of this football game. And maybe, just maybe, Cody Parkey being out can be a hindrance on them, and maybe you see both of these teams going for 2 points more. We know how the Eagles are so obsessed with going for two with Doug Peterson, and if you're without your kicker and your long snapper in Cleveland, you can't feel too healthy about going and kicking an extra point from not just 10 yards out now, but 30-some-odd yards out. So I think that's going to be a big decider in this game. Ultimately, what I believe is that Myles Garrett being out, you're going to have to capitalize on your offensive line being the better unit in this game. And same with your defensive line. You're going to have to play good, solid Philadelphia Eagles football. You're going to have to take your team-building philosophy and building through the trenches, winning through the trenches, and win this game. And if I'm looking at the sample size of Eagles games over the last couple of years where it's late in the season, your quarterback, he isn't going to be the best he has been, and we haven't seen that in the last couple of years. You have to rely on that running game and rely on your playmakers and ultimately the bell cow back now in Miles Sanders to win you this football game. And I think it's going to come down to that. I ultimately believe both teams will probably rush over 150 yards. I think Nick Chubb has a solid 100-yard outing because the Eagles can't defend the run right now, and frankly, they have to run the football to move it at all on offense. So I think it's going to come down to a low-scoring game. I can see this being maybe a 37-point total, maybe like a 17-20 game, 37 points right there. The Eagles come out on top possibly, or they lose with a last-second touchdown to Nick Chubb punching it in at the end. It's going to be an ugly game. It's not going to be one of the ones that we write home about how pretty it was. But you got to get going right and right now, and you have to steal one of these games against these good opponents because you don't have the luxury now after you drop that game to the Giants. So you have to go out there and win this football game. 1-0, that's all it comes down to. Doug Peterson says it week in and week out. Go and beat the Cleveland Browns. At least take one in the AFC North. That tie, it stinks because it was against a bad football team. Go out there and make some noise in the NFL. Be that guy, be that team that creates a little buzz late in the season like you so often have been. And we have seen the last three seasons. Hopefully Doug can get his boys on track. I'm confident. I always am confident. I'm trying to speak things into existence here on the Positivity Pod, on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So thank you guys, as always, for joining me, and look forward to some more content after the Cleveland Browns and Philadelphia Eagles wrap up on Sunday. We'll be getting back to you with a post-game show, me and Lou, here on your airwaves. You know where to find us, as always, on Apple, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere where you guys get your podcast. Please download, subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. Always talking to you guys there. Lou will catch you guys on Twitter at DiBiase, LOE, at Lockdown Birds. Always talking to you guys whenever you want to communicate with us. Leave us some comments. We love chatting with you guys. Stay safe as always. Hopefully have fun watching this Philadelphia Eagles game on Sunday. I will hopefully have fun seeing my Oregon Ducks beat Chip Kelly in the UCLA Bruins. So hopefully we get some good mojo from that. Knock off Chip Kelly. Have Doug Peterson rebirth in the second part of the season here. So thank you guys, as always, for downloading, listening, and subscribing to us here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And thank you guys for joining me, Gino Camilleri. I will catch you on the other side of this matchup. And thank you guys for downloading. Thank you for listening. And fly, Eagles, fly.